Welcome back to Witches DNA 101. And today I'm continuing with my paranormal experiences when I was growing up. And I've had some pretty intense experiences. And a lot of people have, if you've gone through a spiritual awakening, which can be downright frightening. I don't know of anyone who has actually gone through a real one and has not been transformed abruptly. It's an experience that you would never want to repeat, but you're glad you went through it. You're glad you experienced it. So my experiences are always very intense. And I grew up psychic. I grew up in a psychic family. My grandmother on her side of the family, paternal side of the family, on her father's side, she's got a long lineage of witches, Celtic witches. And so I inherited that. I have that in my bloodline, along with being, psychic in multiple ways, with multiple gifts, I should say. And my mother, she taught me. She was my guide. My grandmother, she taught me not to fear, even though I was afraid of not my gifts, but things that I experienced. I was afraid to interact, to communicate with the paranormal, even for most of my adult life, even though my grandmother, she was this rock. She has the hugest shoes to fill because, and I'm certain that a lot of things she did was supernatural in a way that, she used witchcraft. She had help. She had assistance, natural assistance. And so that makes, if you are not in that, not trying to be in that realm, then that makes her shoes almost impossible to fill. You have to be in that supernatural realm in order to be able to even make a significant impression in the footprints that she left. So I was there, and it was like I was drowning in her footprints because I was afraid. And she was not even the most terrifying thing. She was just steady and sturdy. And she always had this quiet smile on her face, this really quiet, peaceful, like she's not afraid. She's not going to let anything bother her. And she just went about her daily life. She did not react to it, whereas I reacted to everything. But that has changed in the last, oh my God, I'm going to say possibly half a decade, I would give it. And it's still changing. I'm still learning. I'm still evolving to the point where I can reach out like she did. I've tranced as a psychic medium. I have tranced, astral traveled. I've done a lot of things. And so when you have those experiences, it tends to affect you, tends to grow you, especially when you are a witch and especially when you are gifted. It teaches you that your gifts are not against you and that you can embrace them, but not embrace the fear. Okay, so what I'm going to talk to you guys about today is my experiences and growing up in this house. And you're not going to find it. It's 211 Maple Street in Leavenworth, Kansas. And growing up in this house, was the most terrifying experiences in my life. There have been scary experiences in other people's houses. And that last podcast, I think it was, I spoke to you guys about how Atchison, Kansas and Leavenworth, Kansas are really, really haunted. And there's other towns among there, but it's one of the scariest towns to live in. And I'm not saying that everybody thinks that because I'm psychic and I tend, no matter where I go, I tend to attract these experiences. And so that's probably just the way I experienced those two cities, but I've heard from other people that they feel an eerie feeling, especially in Atchison. Just when you enter into the town of Atchison, Kansas, it's an eerie feeling. Almost like, to me, it feels like a folk magic, voodoo, dirty voodoo type of feeling. And like, you're being watched. It's weird. But, in the upstairs, there are three bedrooms, okay? We call it the back bedroom, the middle bedroom, and the front bedroom. The back bedroom is also called the third bedroom. And then there in the second bedroom, which is in the middle, there is an attic. And then there is a closet with no door. It just had a curtain. Well, the middle bedroom was the most haunted bedroom. The closet with the curtain, we often would see the curtains part on their own, and it looked like there was that crease in there, that bend in the fabric that looked exactly like somebody was holding them apart. Even though we knew that nobody was in there. There's the attic that has especially at night, it sounded like a bowling alley up there. It's like furniture always moving around. It would get loud sometimes, and it's like, oh my God, like really loud. And I have attempted to go up there, curious sort that I am, and I have been able to, like, when I was little, kind of open the door just a smidge and crack it. It's like this door that you push up to open it up because it's in the ceiling, but I couldn't get it to open up any significant way. And I probably should not have done that. Okay, so I could just tell you guys stories just from the middle bedroom. Seriously. I've had some really spiritual and paranormal experiences there. So one day, me and one of my sisters, we were playing upstairs. We were young. We were young, and she was older than me. She was like, you know, into her own starting to be into her own things now, not really into the childish things that I was still into because I was younger. And so she kind of started liking her alone time, you know, just to contemplate, probably writing her diary and stuff like that. Well, I was playing around more so than she was, you know. And so she was in the back bedroom or third bedroom, which is closest to the bathroom. There's only one bathroom upstairs. And we've got this long hallway that spans across from the first bedroom past the third bedroom. And it's like right there. And then there's another closet with no door on the other side of that third bedroom that has a curtain on it as well. And so she was sitting on a bed that was in the third bedroom. And I was playing around. I was doing something, probably something with my Barbie dolls or whatever. And all of a sudden we hear this. And it's not that I didn't sense it before, because the feeling is always there in this house, okay? We heard this. It's like a bear, or it was this growl. And this growling sound said, "Get out." It was loud. I panicked. I flew. And remember last podcast, I explained the staircase. Okay? So I flew down the staircase into the living room, or the great room, I guess you can call it, family room. And I was so afraid that I had to catch my breath. My breathing was like, my grandmother, there is the living room just next to that room that I was in, the great room, or you can call it dining room if you want. But because it's huge, and well, it was huge to me, but we used that for everything. For it was like a family room. You could eat there, listen to music, and that's where that's where the family, when they come over, would congregate, you know, and have fun and drink and stuff. But her bedroom was right next to that, because it was the living room, because she had had a stroke after my grandfather died. And so she couldn't climb those stairs anymore. And so they put her bedroom downstairs. And so I didn't tell her, because I knew that she was going to be unaffected by it. So why? After I caught my breath, I was like, oh my God. Well, even before I could catch my breath, I was like, oh my God. What did I just do? I just left my sister up there. It took a lot, and I do mean a lot of courage, because I was terrified. I was crying. It took a lot of courage for me to go back up them steps and grab my sister. That's what I did. I went back up them steps with the intention of grabbing my sister. And the door to the third bedroom was open. It was open before. And I saw her sitting on the bed. And as I approached the hallway, her head was like a mechanical doll. It was like she turned and looked at me and smiled, but it was somebody else. It was somebody else that was smiling at me. It scared the crap out of me. I started crying. And to this day, I still feel guilty for running and leaving her there because I always considered myself her protector. And so I consider myself pretty much everybody's protector, you know. I was a fighter. I could fight. And so even when I was little, I didn't like to see injustices happening to people. And so, to this day, I still think about that. And she freaks out. She does not like to talk about it. And so I don't make her talk about it at all. You know, I think she had some remembering of it or awareness it was happening to her because she doesn't like to go there and talk about it. And she's one of those people, as growing up, she was afraid of a lot of things. A leaf could fall on her and she would think that it was, you know, a bug or a snake or something. Because we had a lot of snakes around us in the town. And so, especially on the land that the house was on, there was a well out back with the snakes loved it out there. Oh, goodness. And so, even to this day, I don't go there. But I would if she ever wanted to. Another experience would be when we were even smaller. And we were in the third bedroom. I'm trying to remember if anybody else was home at the time. I think so. Yes. Other people were home. Our grandfather was still alive. And they both had their bedroom in the first bedroom down the long hallway. Coming from that third bedroom, though, something about that third bedroom. We were reading the Bible one night, and our grandfather is a Christian, and so she loved reading the Bible. I did too. I enjoyed it too, reading the Bible, and all of a sudden, this one night, we wasn't reading the Bible this one night. But for some reason, this night was different. And it was late, like late, like maybe 12 midnight or a little bit later. And we both felt this presence. But for me, and I'm not sure if it was that way for her, and I won't talk to her about it because she hates talking about our lives growing up in our house when, you know, paranormal things happen, except for this one, these two experiences that she brings up. But later on that, I can feel the energy of it. You couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. We couldn't see it. but I could see it psychically. I could see the energy psychically. I could feel it physically and see it psychically as it came out of the middle bedroom. And it was trying to come into the third bedroom where me and my sister were. And let me tell you, this pressure that filled the air pressure changed dramatically. It went from an everyday, like, kind of calm, you know, like you're just breathing normally, to where you can't breathe. It's like the air is so thick. The air is so, so thick and heavy and dense. And our ears, I know my ears started popping because of that. And then the closer it came, the stronger and the stronger and stronger it got. And you could feel its intention was to overcome us. And I started praying and telling it to leave. She was very afraid. She was panicking. She was behind me on our bed. She was behind me holding on to me. And like I said, I placed myself in the position of protecting, because that's who I was. I was a protector. And so I was very brave and I stood it down. I stood it down. I did not let it enter our room, overcome us. I did not let it do that. And I remember telling it to leave, screaming for it to leave, hollering it for it to leave. I don't think that I threw any scriptures at it. But here's the thing about scripture. In order for anything demonic to be affected by scripture, they first have to even revere, you know, they have to regard, have to have some type of recognition or appreciation for the scripture. Seriously. So if a demon is like doesn't regard Jesus or doesn't regard the Bible as being anything, a fact, or doesn't respect it, doesn't care. Well, of course, demon's not going to respect it, but doesn't care, especially if it's from a different culture, like the jinn. From the Middle Eastern areas, then they're not going to be afraid if you throw scripture at it. So it comes down to what I had when I was little, and that was intention. And that was one time, actually, I was afraid. But I stood my ground and I wasn't afraid. It works, things like that, demons and stuff like that work off of your fear. And that's why they create these environments, these things around people, is to cause you to be afraid. And once they cause you to be afraid, and that's that negative energy in that way that they can work through. If I was afraid and panicked and that I just saw something. If I was afraid and panicked and didn't stand my ground, then something probably would have happened. happened. But I didn't. And at that young of an age, I must have been, oh God, about 8 or 9. Maybe a little younger. Yeah, about 7, between 7 and 9. If I hadn't stood my ground, something would have happened, but I did. And at that time, possibly I had taken a page from my grandmother's book already and learned not to fear. Okay, so one more thing. My grandmother was, she was really like into fairies because she's a Celtic witch. You know, her family hails from Ireland and the UK and all that, you know, in Sweden. You know, and mainly she reveres her Irish heritage. She's most proud of that. And so, she loved bells and stuff. And bells, they say, supposed to, especially, you know, she always got bells on her anniversary and stuff like that. People love giving her bells because she loved them so much. They're supposed to keep away, you know, evil energy and stuff. And that did not work in this house at all. And so, she was really in, I mean, it's part of their heritage, like elves and fairies and stuff like that. There's a whole fairy tradition. It is a whole thing, okay? It's not made up. Some people think it's made up. It's not made up. You have to be gifted to see one. Not everybody can see a fairy. And I'm not talking about Tinkerbell fairy. You guys are probably rolling right about now. I'm not talking about a Tinkerbell fairy. I'm talking about a real fairy. The little small ones. And they can, I've heard they can be as tall as trees. But it's a real thing. Fairies and sprites is, you know, it's a real thing. The thing about fairies is that in a lot of witches, seasoned witches would tell you they don't mess with them. They know they're real too, but they don't mess with them. And here's why. Because they can be quite negative. And what I mean by that is that the fairy world exists on a very thin line between the good and the demonic. And I don't mean like the good and the bad. I mean the good and the demonic. So when you play with fairies, you know, when you communicate with them, when you perform fairy magic, you know, magic involving fairies, asking favors from fairies and stuff like that, you're not just getting the fairy, but they're also bringing with them that demonic part, because that energy is also connected to them. So, in the third bedroom, before my sister, she saw it before I did. And it started out with these people. She had woke up. And this is why, for a long time, I would not sleep at the foot of my bed. She woke up. She's laying at the foot of the bed, head towards the foot, end of the bed. She opened her eyes and looked up, and there was this lady standing over her. And She said a lady and a man, and the lady was moving her mouth, but she couldn't hear what she was saying, and it scared her so bad. She calls them the devil and her husband or something like that. So I'm like, what? And so she's telling me this, and I couldn't see it. You know, I was like, you know, okay, let me try to see if it comes or whatever. It never did. Then my sister tells me that she saw in midair this little man. And you guys are going to be cracking up. But it's this little man in overalls in a tractor in midair that just went by. And it would go out the window. I was laughing. I was like, what? Until I saw it. And it was like, it was so weird. I was sitting up fully awake. I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't even drowsy. Fully awake in the middle of the night, and that little man in the overalls and the tractor goes, bye. I didn't try to reach out to touch it, I don't think, because I know I have thought about it. I don't think I did, though. I just let it be, have its own peace, and be on its way. But it's like I was watching it as it came in the room, and my eyes followed it as it went through the window and out. And I thought back then, and I think now, that that fairy was there to protect us. Because we were sleeping in the middle room now. So this happened after the standoff with the demonic force. Or with the entity. It was an entity. And when you experience stuff like that, that's an entity. So that I just explained to you that happened with the standoff. That's when you experience air pressure changes and stuff like that. That's a sign of an entity. A surefire sign. There's an entity present. So this was after that, because we were younger. And so when we grew up a little bit more, we got moved to the middle bedroom. And so that I've seen that little man attractor, and there were other sightings of little fairies and stuff like that in the house that we were able to see. And yeah, I really do believe they were there to protect us. Do I think that my grandmother's belief in fairies brought demonic energy into the house? I don't think so. I think it helped, but I don't think it was that thing that did it. Because in the third bedroom, going back to the third bedroom now, nobody's in there really. Because we're now sleeping in the middle bedroom. But there is this wall. It looked like it could be like part of a chimney. It's brick, but it had wallpaper over it, and it was, you know, all, you know, it was an old house, you know. But for some reason, I kept feeling there was life inside of there, like maybe somebody died and got buried inside. And so I would chip away. At times I would chip away trying at the brick. I would tear through the wallpaper and chip away because it was crumbly. I guess you call it the mortar, I guess you can call it. I guess that you put around the brick to hold the structure together, it would crumble because it was old as hell. And so I would try to chip away. I would chip away at it, trying to get to the inside of it to see if there was really dead bodies in there. And at this time, my grandmother, she had, I know it's going to sound weird, but she had subscriptions to like true crime or it wasn't called true crime. It was called something else. I used to remember the name of the magazine, seems like, so easily. But now I'm like, what was the name of it? But they would show very graphic and black and white images. And I think maybe some were in color. And this is in the 70s and the 80s. Where people were killed, assassinated, dead. And it was an actual magazine that showed all of this massacre and murder and dead bodies everywhere. And she loved that. She loved it. And so that could be part of why I might have dreamt up that or thought that there were bodies hidden in the wall, because I was young. And so we didn't have the forensic files, or there wasn't even anything. Forensics wasn't even a thing yet. Nobody had thought of it yet. It wasn't big. It wasn't huge. I don't even think it was even invented, if that's a word. But I felt truly and deeply that there was the bones, the remains of a body inside of the wall. And that might be why we had some... One reason why we had so many experiences. So, let's start talking. I'm going to talk about something a little lighter. Then my next podcast will be some more paranormal experiences. And I might even bring to you some stories from other experiences. I'll try to find some, look some up, and bring that to you next podcast. How about that? But let's get into what some of us love and some of us hate. I'm not even sure there's an in-between. Let's get into some numbers. Numerology. All right. Did you know that you can change your entire life easily with numbers? I'm not talking about saving money or making money. As in, calculating, any percentage rates or anything like that. No. Mm-mm. And anybody can do this. You don't have to be gifted in any way, except you might want to know how to count. Because that would be the only skill you really need to know. 1 through 9. Let me tell you about something that I did. When I moved here, where I'm at right now, finances were so bad. My finances were horrible. We left where I was living. Me and my son left, and my daughter, my grandson, and my son-in-law. We left where we were because they had come. My daughter, my son-in-law, my daughter, and my daughter came to live with me. She was pregnant. She had my son-in-law. She had my grandson, and then my son-in-law came down, my ex-son-in-law came down, and asked if he could stay, to be in the baby's life and all that good stuff. And I was like, yeah, even though they fight all the time, I was like, yeah, this is for the baby. I can do that.
anything good and positive. And I was under the premise that, you know, they wouldn't be doing that in my house, which was the case. I don't allow that around me. So we had to move from where we were rather abruptly. And we moved here. And when we moved here, we really didn't have a lot of money because everything was put into the move. And I had a new grandbaby. And so it was just, oh. And neither, you know, my son or grand or ex-son, neither my daughter or my ex-son-in-law were working. My son, he was in high school. And so we moved here, and money was tight. I was like borrowing money from my family, from my friends, just to make ends meet, just for food to feed. My daughter was breastfeeding at the time, so that helped out a lot. But that started to not be enough, so we wanted to supplement. And so she got on WIC, and that helped out a lot. So I was like, you know what? Sometimes, you know, when I go through things, that's when I'm the most quiet. And so I didn't really express anything about what was going on inside of me, except to the people who were helping me, my sister and my friend and my nephew. And so what I did is, there is a number in numerology that will bring you money. Regardless of what your life path, power name, soul number, all that is. I live in an apartment, so, and it's not difficult to do this if you live in a house, if you live in an apartment. That money number is the number 8. If you want to bring money into your house, increase your income, 8 is the number. You can have the number 8. If you live in an apartment, you can live in apartment 8. Or your apartment number can break down to the number 8, can reduce down to the number 8. But if it doesn't, then that's okay, because you can still make it powerful. And how is that? The number that's on your apartment door, not the building number, not the main address number, but the number that is on your door, if you're in an apartment, what's your apartment number? That number. Add all that together, reduce it down to a single digit between 1 and 9. Whatever you need to add to that to achieve the number 8, you can write that number somewhere near your door, near your front door. You can put the number on your front door. You can do something by adding that number some way to your to that energy by that door. So when in coming into my apartment, the front door, it breaks down to the number 12, which further reduces down to the number 3. I didn't want to write it by the door, because I want people to be like, why are you writing on your wall? Why are you writing numbers on your wall? But anyway, my bedroom door, as soon as you come in, is right there. So what I did is I wrote the number 5 on my wall, that on the side of my wall where the front door is. And by adding that 5 to the 3 vibration that's on my apartment number, I created the number 8. And let me tell you, the effect is immediate. It's immediate. You will start noticing the difference real quick. So let's say that, and I'm not going to call this magic, because anybody can do this, really. And yeah, we all have our own little magic, but I'm talking about real magic. So, real magic comes from within. It's not something that you necessarily use a tool for. Numbers are tools. That's why anybody can use it. Anybody can do numerology. Anybody can do this trick. I'll call it a trick. I won't necessarily call it magic. And even though if you want to insist on calling it magic, I can see it. But I'm going to call it this trick here, because it's not really magic. It's rather mundane, but it's highly effective. It's working with energy. And yes, energy can be magic, but energy in itself is energy. Okay, Okay, so maybe it is a little bit of magic. Because I was getting ready to say you're not really influencing anything, but you really actually are. Okay. So, let's say your apartment number or your house number or your business number, address number on your business. Let's say your business is in... a strip mall at 1451 Wimpole Street. I love My Fair Lady, so we're going to do that. 1451 Wimpole Street. You're not going to break down Wimpole or Street. You're not even want to really bother with the 1451. The number or the letter that's on your door for your particular business is the one that's important. So let's say you're in suite 3. Well, all you need to do is on the inside, so people don't get confused, on the inside somewhere near your entrance, write the number 5. I think you can even spell it out. But I don't know, I've always just put the number there. But yeah, I think it can spell it out. I always just use the literal number. You can write it, you could put a 5 in some artistic way over there as a decoration or something, some kind of way. Not 5 pieces of something, but the literal number 5. And so, that will change that will improve your business financially immediately. Same thing for your home. If your home breaks down to a number 9, then placing nine plus 9 is 18, which breaks down to a 9. 9 plus 7, you want to put a 7, because 9 plus 7 breaks down to a 9 plus 7 breaks down to, nope, 16, which breaks down to a 7. You could put like 1 + 9 + 9, 18, 19. That would bring you back to a 1. That's a good one. Let's see. Let me get my calculator out real quick. Because time is running short on this podcast. Let's see. 9 + 9, 18. That would be a 9. 9 + 7. That would be a 7. Nine plus 5. That'd be a 5. 9 + 6. 9 + 3. The thing about this is that whatever you add to the 9 is going to be the breakdown to the number you add to it. Oh. Hold up. 9 + 8. Okay. Duh. Okay, so just add 8 to it. And you get 17, which reduces down to an 8. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, that I really did have to go to calculator for that. So, that would be great. That would instantly improve your finances, bring money into your house, opportunities opening up, breaking through any blockages that might have been preventing you from getting a job or from just traveling because you had a lack of money. Okay. And trust me, it's highly effective. It works. All right. So, and that also works for love too, finding love. And I will, next podcast, I'll talk to you guys about that too. Okay. So until then, you guys stay safe out there. Be kind. Don't practice black magic. And I'll see you guys back here. And thank you guys for supporting me and for listening. And if you're new here, I thank you so much. You're welcome. This is Witches DNA 101. It's for hereditary or generational witches to have a lineage of witchcraft in their families. But I opened this up to, witches who don't. Wiccans also, because, some Wiccans are witches. Witches that have a whole lineage. And if you listen to my previous podcast, you'll understand why I call Wiccans the keepers. They're the keepers of the old ways. They're the keepers of witchcraft. Wicca is not witchcraft, but witchcraft is Wiccan. Yeah. Okay. So, bye now.